Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Peraton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Peraton.
Hi, this is Mike Dettillier, and you are listening to Flourish Truly with Tina and Georgette.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Flourish Truly. Hey, my friend, happy Friday. It's a weekend. A little odd for us to be recording today, but we have a very special guest I'm excited for. How are you doing today, Georgette? And
I'm doing great. I am excited to be recording on a Friday and especially excited to have Mike on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Always my pleasure.
Yes. And friend of the show, everybody who doesn't know, Mike Dettillier, everybody's favorite football analyst and co-host of Sports Talk with WWL, is joining us again today. I know we're a little delayed because we had originally had him scheduled back in April and something came up with a family emergency. So we're glad to have him back on tonight. Before we get started, Mike, I know last time we had you on the show, it was right after Ida. I know your hometown was hit and it was devastating. And we talked a little bit about that. How are you doing? How's the area recovering right now?
That's still areas, especially south of the intercoastal, where tremendous damage, certainly in Terrebonne Parish, the same thing out in La Place, people still trying to get their lives back. And, when it happens to a small community, the spotlight goes off of this very quickly. If it's at a major city, it's different, but it's not, this small towns in this area. So it's been a process and a long one, but I would say, made some great strides, and not everybody's completely back 100%, but you've learned to adjust. And I was very fortunate. Yeah, I had $75,000-$80,000 worth of damage, but nothing that kept me from living in my home. I had a work shed that was alongside my home, and it slid across my 3-car driveway, and a quarter of it hung right next to my den. And so I had to take it down and that sort of thing. But, hey, listen, minor stuff. We all well with it, and family's doing well. And so, we just consider ourselves fortunate, very, very fortunate. But there are some people that are still suffering down here in Lafourche, Terrebonne area, and also in La Place, where yes, they got really, really hard also. So,
it's devastating to hear that. It's scary because we're already in June, so it's already hurricane season. We're talking about prepping for this year. And I know people that still haven't gotten their first insurance check that are still on the list to get roofs. Supplies are so short right now. Staffing is so short right now. So it's scary to hear that, because we're like already in the, okay, hey, what are we going to do this year, when people are still recovering from not only last year, but the year before with Laura. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well and the community's bouncing back. And that's one thing. Yeah, it's sad. Small communities do get forgotten very easily. But the one good thing is no communities come together like smaller communities to help one another. And that was the one thing that, like you mentioned, you had Terrebonne, Lafourche, St. John's, St. Charles, Orleans, and Jefferson. I mean, a lot of those areas were really hard hit, and it kind of took us for a surprise because we really didn't think it was going to come on shore the way it did. So yeah, here we are now, June 1st, and we just hope and pray that none of this area, we don't see anybody get hit, but really South Louisiana doesn't need a 3 years in a row. On to more positive news here with the Saints. It's been a interesting offseason. Started off with losing Sean Payton, which was for a lot of Saints fans. They weren't expecting it. And then, of course, Dennis Allen, now head coach, and they've had an incredible draft. So I kind of want to just lead into that. Like, what do you think is going to be their biggest challenge this season? And what do you think of all the changes, and is that going to affect them on the field?
I think the biggest challenge is getting everybody healthy. That is a big key in any sport. As far as changes, there wasn't a ton of them other than Sean leaving and, Curtis not being the wide receiver coach. It basically kind of stayed intact. In a lot of ways, they did bring in Doug Marrone to help out along the offensive line. But, you know, this staff has, the majority of it has worked together so that, you know, they understand how the inner workings of a team is. Dennis has been a head coach before, and it's not like being the boss. You can say, oh, well, I sort of know because I was a junior boss. Until you're the boss, you don't know El Crapola. The buck stops with you. It stops with you. And so, and you're going to take the blame. Now, you're going to get a lot of credit, but you're going to take the blame. And everybody's personality is different. Sean's different from Dennis. And so Sean's sort of old school in a lot of ways. He really is. Dennis, you know, he's a little bit maybe more upfront to answer questions. Sean at times, you depends on how you caught him. You know, sometimes he was really good and other times he wasn't. Dennis so far has done a really good job answering any questions, sit down with us to talk and that sort of thing. Defensively, this was a good team before free agency and the draft started. They're a really good team today. Special teams, you did lose Justin Hardy, who was a really top-flight special teams player, but you get back a healthy Will Lutz, and you're trying to find now a gunner opposite JT Gray. The change is really more on the offensive side of the football. And I wrote this 2 years ago, and some people disagreed with it, but I think today it's fact. It's how the game is played and how the game is paid. A wide receiver position is the three-point shooter in basketball today. You better have more than one. And you can con yourself into saying, oh, we got too much. And you never got too much. What? I don't get this too much. I'd rather have too much than not enough. And last year, you had El Zocho when Mike Thomas went down. You weren't prepared for it. And so you saw the bringing in of Chris Olave, who I think is going to be a really nice deep receiver. He's a guy that's going to hug the sidelines. He's not going to make a lot of plays over the middle. That's not what they've asked him to do. He's going to be a chalk player, and he's big time. He's really good as a route runner. He's impressive in doing so and watching him in the three OTAs. You can see it ain't his first rodeo. He knows how to do it. I was impressed with Marquez Callaway's development as a receiver. I thought last year, the big difference with him from his rookie season was almost as a rookie, he would almost come to a complete stop getting into and out of a cut and a break. Last year, it was a tap the break. This year, he's so much smoother and quicker and faster getting into and out of a cut and a break. And he high points the ball really well. And so you see the improvement with Marquez Callaway and Jarvis Landry. Man, I don't know what to say. Jarvis and I go back, I guess he was probably either 14 or 15 years old. He was coached at Lutcher by Tim Dettillier, who I know a little bit. And he told me at, I think Jarvis was a freshman, that I've got a player here, Micah. He said, I'm not kidding you. I think he's the greatest player I've ever coached. So I went watch him play, and he was playing linebacker. Him and I talked about this when he came on the show with us on WWL. He was a starting linebacker at 158 pounds, middle linebacker at Lutcher. But he made some spectacular catches, been a terrific player at LSU, and then, you know, record-setting guy with the Dolphins, went to Cleveland, had some injuries last year. And for the first time, missed some time. You talk about a tough guy. He is tough. He is really tough. And, you know, certainly the injuries to Baker Mayfield affected him also. He's going to run those inside routes. You know, he's going to be the guy that he's going to get you what I call the dirty yardage. You know, it's the tough yards, third and six. He's going to get you 7-8. He's got that ability. He's not the biggest receiver in the world, but he can whirl out of a tackle so well. And then he's up the field, and he's a special guy. Really is great blocker, tremendous leader. Rarely will you see him drop a pass. He caught one right in front of me 2 weeks ago. One hand, the defender grabbed his arm and was pulling it. He catches it one hand. He gets away from it. He was talking trash to him all the way downfield. But that's Jarvis. And so to get Jarvis Olave on this team, we see the improvement with Callaway. We have not seen Michael Thomas, and Coach told us yesterday, doubtful that he will be at the mandatory OTAs. And that's not a surprise to me. Always thought he'd be a guy we wouldn't see until a training camp. And we wouldn't see during the preseason either. We're going to see him into the regular season. Okay, you can post a video of a workout running straight, but football's not played on a straight line. I'll be interested to see how well he can cut and break, because that was really a specialty of his. He did that extremely well. He put that big body basketball forward, going up for a rebound between the ball and the defender. And so I look at that and I see some of the young kids, call them kids, but Kurt Merrick from Destrehan. Kurt, you know, I live probably 15 minutes from Destrehan High School. And I saw Kurt play a ton of games as a high school player. He goes to Oregon, doesn't last long there. Then he goes to A&M, gets in some trouble, goes to East Mississippi Community College, and then goes to Arkansas State, where he put up some really big numbers. He's played with the Dolphins for a little while, practice squad guy. And Kurt made some really nice catches the last OTA we saw Thursday. And he's always been a guy that he can run with the ball really well after the catch. And he's sure-handed. And Dejon Dixon. Dejon, first time I saw him, I saw him at Edna Carr. But the first time I saw him in a Nicholls State uniform playing for the Colonels, I'm on the sidelines, and he walks right to me, and I'm like, good gracious. Did Tim Rebo get Marcus Colston out of retirement to come play? Because that's who he looked like. He physically looks like him. And he's caught the ball well, playing on special teams, so you got a good developmental group of guys there. And I'll be honest, Aesop Winston, who we saw a little bit last year as a return man, and we see his development also as a receiver. So, I like what I'm seeing from the sort of back end of receivers. And Deontay, he brings a specialty to the game because he's a big play artist. You can't use him a lot near the line of scrimmage. Okay, he's only 5'6 and 160 pounds. He's not going to take a beating like that. These bubble screens and all, I never liked that. I know Sean did, but I never cared for it. Using him in that, get him downfield where he can make a big play. And so, again, it goes back to my theory of the game has changed, of how it's played, how it's paid. Look, all the receivers getting paid today. Most GMs today, they just shake their heads. You're paying receivers $20, $25, $28 million a year. Well, they become the new version of the three-point shooter in basketball. You got to have them. And so I like what I've seen from the receiving core. The big key, though, sir, is to get Michael Thomas back healthy.
Definitely. And he brings such a different aspect to the offense. And people talk about his injury. They seem to forget he had a setback in November and had to have a second surgery. So, I mean, they are, I think, erring on the side of caution with him. So we're hopeful. We want to see him back on the field because, I mean, this offense was so explosive for many years. I think Saints fans get a little bit spoiled because they were used to having Drew and what Drew could do with these guys. And then, we kind of last 2 years, we kind of hit the skids, not having that with Mike Thomas being out and just not really having anybody that kind of stepped up in that role. And then this offseason, we had a great draft with Chris, and then we signed Taran. Everybody was like, oh, maybe we'll sign Landry. And then now we signed Landry. Now is like, well, are we going to, we're going to sign Beckham players. Well, like, don't be greedy.
That might take a little more doing. I know Odell's mom real well. She was a former track coach here at Nicholls State. And so we got to know each other really well. And you hated to see what happened to him in the Super Bowl because he was having a fabulous game and could have well been the MVP had he, not went down with the knee injury. But people don't realize how hard a worker he is. They've seen him maybe, have a few temper tantrums and everything else and showed some immaturity. But, man, he is a big-time player, and I would love to see him here. I think he heads back to L.A. It's almost tailor-made for him to go back to the Rams, and his relationship with Sean McVay is very good. But besides the receiving core, and everybody says Jameis Winston is the key to the 2022 season, and I wouldn't disagree with that because I think you could say that about all 32 quarterbacks. They're the key to their team. I really think the biggest key for 2022 is offensive line play. because last year you saw a disheveled group, a lot of injuries, and you got hit with the COVID situation. But I think that's the one unit that has to play big. And you've used a lot of early round picks on linemen. Trevor Penning's a first round pick. Cesar Ruiz is a first round pick. Eric McCoy is a second round pick, but you had to trade up to get him. Andrus Peet, guess what? He was a first round pick. Ryan Ramczyk, first round pick. A lot of resources you put into this, they have got to be able to play big. So I get all the talk about Jameis, and it's great for the national guys to talk about, but I could say that. What's the key to Buffalo? Josh Allen, right? What's the key to the city? Patrick Mahomes. What's the key to Cincinnati? Joe Burrow. But offensive line play for me, for this football team, I think is going to be paramount. Because we saw last year, even when their starters were in there, the results weren't real good. It was average at best. Okay, if I'm using all these early picks on players, I don't want an average or above average unit. I expect a lot more from you than that. And I think they do have a good sixth man in James Hurst, who could start at both guard and tackle if you need to. And this was last June. Coach Ogeron had called me. He was at LSU at the time. And he says, hey, T-Boy, do me a study. What's the most injured positions out on the field? I said, okay. So I went back and I did it both for college and pro football. Guards and tackles. They miss more games than any other position in both college and pro football. So I also watch for the depth. When I watch the OTAs and they're not hitting, but who's running with the second team? Is it a Forrest Lamp? Andrews, who they picked up late in the process. And the development of Calvin, who stepped in, I thought did a solid job at guard last year when they asked him to do it. Those guys are going to have to answer the bell sometime during the year. So I would never disagree with anyone. They put it on Jameis. But I will say, I think the paramount position for this team in 2022.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
Is the play of their offensive line as a whole.
Agree.
So Mike, you know, you made some really like awesome points and I loved what you had to say. And so it's really perplexing to me when I think about the national NFL media, the way they're underestimating the team this year, despite everything that we've done in the offseason up to now. And we have the return of Jameis and the projected return of Mike Thomas. Why do you think they have us with a losing record? And why do you think they underestimate us the way they are?
Well, I grew up with a guy and he's made it pretty good out in Las Vegas. We actually played basketball, baseball against one another. I don't think he ever played football, but he was a really good basketball, baseball player. And he's the chief odds maker, sports odds maker for the Win. And he told me, you know, listen, we put a lot of thought into all this. We knew even before the schedule got announced, it was going to be a tougher schedule than last year for us. And the way it's laid out, you can see I think it is exactly what he said, a tougher schedule than it was in 2021. Losing Sean, I think, had a lot to do with that thought process also, because there is some unknown about Dennis Allen as a head coach. It didn't go well with him with the Raiders and how well that adjustment will take place. And then Alvin Kamara gets in trouble. Okay, and then that's the other throw card down. How many games will he miss this year? And the uncertainty too of the injury to Michael Thomas. So when he sort of lays it out to you, you can understand why Vegas did what they did. Mm-hmm. And the only time they moved it is when they thought the Saints might get Deshaun Watson. That's the only time the number moved, and it moved only for like a 48-hour period, and then went right back. But they thought the Saints were going to get Watson. So other than that, I get where he's coming from. Some of the national people, and listen, I got a lot of respect for many of them. They really do their homework, but they have some that are clueless. It would be like them putting me on a hockey show. Okay. I know a little bit, but I don't know a lot about the NHL. Mm-hmm. And I think they sort of wing it with the Saints a little bit. Oh, no Sean Payton, no Drew Brees. No winning record.
Right.
It's a guess on their part, but they have done no research. None of it. Okay, if I'm reading off a teleprompter, man, I wish I had that luxury. You know, let me do 4 hours and everything's on a teleprompter. But it's not. You sort of have scripted a lot of what you're going to say when you do these national shows. I knew that years ago, and still today, I do a lot of them. And, you know, you want a teleprompter and you want me to write I don't even discuss it. What we're going to talk about. So I'm not writing something down so you can put it on a teleprompter. I can keep it between my ears. But for some, I think that's the deal. And you can tell, you watch these shows, if it's in the morning or at night, you know, it's all, nothing's off the cuff. And when it's off the cuff, that's when they screw up. Okay? That's when they mess up, because so much of it is scripted, because it has to be in a certain time frame. A lot of it has to do when you go back to what Timmy told me, and this was back in March. Like, I look at it, I think the schedule's tougher. No Sean Payton. They had not signed Jameis Winston yet. It was real early in the free agency period. And so they hadn't signed Jameis, and then Kamara's situation. I understand why Vegas put it like that perfect. When you kind of lay all the cards down,
yeah.
I understand they put it like that. But for the national people now, you've had some time to kind of soak this in. Jameis is in place here. He's the guy. Bringing in Tyrann Mathieu, bringing in Jarvis Landry, having a good draft where I suspect Olave's going to be a starter game one. Trevor will be a starter as a rookie. Now, I can't say 100% sure he's going to be a starter game one, but he's working with the ones. So that tells you that they want him to be that guy. We don't know about Kamara. We don't know about Michael Thomas. But your defense and special teams are such a big chunk of this team. And you've got to look at it differently than how you saw teams of yesteryear when Sean and Drew and, you know, you had a Colston or Michael Thomas and Jimmy Graham lighting up the scoreboard. It's a totally different game. And how are you going to play to win? So I think they haven't adjusted to that yet.
So before we wrap, I have one quick question for you. Who is your dark horse that you think is going to make this roster? Someone a lot of people really hadn't been talking about. Is it going to be somebody that was an undrafted free agent, someone that they did sign in one of the later rounds, or someone that, you know, just walk on?
I really like Bryce Thompson, who was in camp last year, got cut, got brought back, got cut, got brought back. I see the improvement with him a lot. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. I'm interested to see Taysom Hill. Not that he wouldn't make the team, but as an impact player at that flex tight end position, I think that's a natural spot for him. And he has practiced with that. Him and I did a couple of junkets together, and he had told me, Mike, it's not new to me. I've practiced it before. So he's done it. Ahmad Smith at running back from Baylor. I got sent film from him when he was in high school and they were recruiting him. He didn't go to where the coach who sent me the film was trying to recruit him. And he goes in as a running back. He kind of gets caught in a numbers game. Then they don't have enough linebackers. So all of a sudden, hey, Ahmad, you got to play linebacker. Okie doke. So he steps in, becomes a starting middle linebacker. I spoke to Dave Aranda last spring, and he was like, Mike, big position for us. I got to find me a running back. So I said, what you're going to do? He said, I'm thinking about moving Ahmad back full time to running back. And then what he did last year, It was unbelievable. He sets the record for rushing yardage at Baylor. He's a pinball runner now. If you've not seen him play, and that I'll use that term, you know, somebody either run into him or he runs into them. It's one of the two. And then, ping, you know, he bounces off and he's out into the open field. He kind of runs high in the saddle. He gives you a lot of body to hit, but he's a tough guy. He runs over you or around you. And there were games that Baylor's passing attack wasn't real good. He carried both buckets of water for him, really did. And so I'm impressed with him. I watched him so much in the OTAs as a receiver coming out the back. He was impressive. He didn't catch the ball as well as a Zigbo does, but very few do. One thing with Zigbo, he can catch the ball real well, but Ahmad catches the ball clean up front with his hands. So I think he would be a guy that I would take a long, long look at. And you're carrying more defensive backs than linebackers today just because you got to match up. The game's changed. So does a guy like a Bryce Thompson or a Smoke Monday become a player because of special teams? And then being able to play in the dime sets. So those are the guys that I would take a look at as training camp comes around to keep your eye on. Lucas Krull is interesting because I saw him as a high school player in Kansas. He was the fourth or fifth ranked tight end in the country.
And then he sat behind Kyle Pitt. A lot of people don't know who he is.
Nobody beating Kyle Pitts out. No. So. He goes to Pitt, and he's a totally different player than Pitts. He is a big framed tight end, and he's not super quick. He's not super fast, but he gets open, and he's got really good hands, and he knows how to find the open spot in a secondary very, very well. He's got a little habit, and I've seen other players do it, but I pointed it out yesterday to the guys from WWL, Christian and Bobby J. And I was like, well, watch when he runs the route and he gets open. He does claps his hands, almost like, hey, hey, I get your attention, throw me the ball. And okay, it's a habit. You know, it's hard when you get that to break it, but he'll clap. And I saw it the OTA before. I heard it before I saw it. And I realized what he was doing. And then this past OTA, he did it three times. And it's not hurts his game or anything, but it's just like a little tick he has of, hey, hey, hey. And I went back and watched him at Pitt. And he did the same thing with Kenny Pickett. Almost like, hey, when you hear the hands clap, Pickett, throw me the ball. I'm open. He's not going to outrace anybody. He's not going to be super fast, super quick, but he gets open. He's a big target. One of the things I saw yesterday, Troutman caught the ball well. And, you know, when he made his first catch and it was a nice one over the middle, I kind of gave, you know, kind of the Bronx cheer. Yeah, there you go. And somebody, everybody's turning around, look at me. I said, man, listen, I'm just thrilled he caught it because in college, he was known as a receiver and a so-so blocker. In the NFL, he's been a good blocker and a so-so receiver. I don't see how it sort of transformed like that for him, but they're counting on him, Taysom Hill, because the Saints' offense, if it's Sean or Pete Carmichael, they want to get the ball to the tight end. They really do. And so one of the positions on special teams to watch, too, is the gunner opposite JT Gray with no Justin Hardy. And we've seen a variety of players working there. I think Alante Taylor, the second round pick from Tennessee, has the advantage because he's played that before. And I'm telling you, he's going to be a really good player. You can tell that he, with his size, his length, his ability to match up downfield, and he's got really good recovery skills, that he's going to be a really good outside corner. Now, I think they'll try to work him also in the dime inside, but I like what I've seen from Alante Taylor, but Bryce Thompson, Kirk Merritt, Dejon Dixon, it's like nine of them when they get in line, who's going to be opposite JT Gray. And that may open up a spot for someone. We saw it last year with Andrew Dow. No one picked Andrew Dow before the preseason that he would make this team. He made it on special teams.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are excited for this season, at least within the Who Dat Nation over the last couple of weeks with all the signings that they've made. So many camp tickets were sold out pretty quickly. I think training camp's going to be booked. It's going to be fun. And I want to tell you before we wrap, thank you again for joining us. I really appreciate it. Real quick, your quick prediction for this season.
I think they're a 10-win team.
I think they're going to be around 10 or 11 wins, and they'll make the playoffs this year. I think it's just definitely going to be improvement this year.
I do see it. Had the injuries not just decimated this team last year, they would have been in the playoffs last year. But, you know, ifs and buts and candies and nuts, and it's all a Merry Christmas. But I do think that if the health is there, that this team can win 10 games. But that schedule, this is why it's imperative to get off to a fast start in September. They have not been a fast start team under Sean. And there is something to that, okay? There is something to that. They've been an unbelievable team in October. Unbelievable team in October. But the schedule really gets tough end of October into November. And that's where you hope that you are healthy, because that's where you see the way the schedule is lined out could be a really tough stretch for them in November. Now, listen, you can look at it with black and gold glasses and say, well, we're going to win 13, 14 games. No, there's not going to be many teams in the NFL that's going to win 13, 14 games in this league. It's just not set up that way with a 17-game schedule. The one good thing with the Saints is, I think, in the NFC South, other than Tampa, and listen, every game's tough because you're going up against professional. But look at the gunslingers you got in the NFC. Who you got to go up against? Okay. And Brady, you've had his number. You've done a pretty good job there. The problem is for the other teams is Mariota most likely will start the season for Atlanta. I think it'll be a short stint as a starter. And then the rookie Desmond Ridder will come in. That he'll start. Who knows what the hell happens in Carolina? Sam Darnold, I've seen more from him where he looks great in practice and OTAs, and he's not quite the same. And this team without a healthy Christian McCaffrey, and I don't know what's going to happen with Christian there. They're a totally different football team. And I wonder a little bit about the mental part with Carolina, where I think a lot of players feel Matt Rhule isn't their guy. And sometimes that does have an effect on a team. You look across the NFC, does Green Bay scare you? Look at the receiving core they have. Yeah, they still got Aaron Rodgers, and they can run the ball, and their defense is good. But, okay, who's their receivers?
Going to have the same situation the Saints had here last year. Who's Rodgers going to be throwing to?
Holy. I don't know how Gutekunst gets away with not getting much criticism. Because I think he has fallen into that category where he does not believe that that wide receiver position is the new three-point shooter. I think he does not believe that. He wants to build it a certain way. Well, that's great. And he's had success. But you've got to change with the times. And I think you could almost say the same thing in New England. Without Tom Brady, you better stock up that receiving core. Because as good as Mac Jones, and I think he's a good player, he's not great, but he's good. You better get him some help at the receiving position. And now you see teams start stockpiling receivers, okay? Because you get it. And every once in a while, you're going to have to pay one. You can't pay all. So you go back in the draft. And if I'm a receiver, I've got the rosary beads out and say, I have hit the mother lode. Because until the days we, three of us, take our last breath, wide receivers are going to be a premium come draft time, because that's the way the game is played today. It's not going back to the running game. It's going back to pitch and catch. It's going to be there until we're not here anymore. And so you better stockpile of them. And what's going to happen, you're going to see a lot of receivers get picked, just like the last three drafts have shown you that. That is not going to stop. That trend is going to continue until we're not covering the NFL no more.
Well, Mike, thank you again for joining us. It's always so fun chatting with you. If everybody wants to catch Mike on weekdays, he's on WWL Radio. And Mike, tell everybody where they can catch you online as well.
At Mike Dettelier on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, Mike Dettelier, and Instagram, Mike Dettelier. So you can catch me on there. And you put on a radio station or a TV station somewhere, I'm doing it.
Mike's there. He makes drive time fun. And of course, if you want to follow me, I'm Tina at The NOLA Girl on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also follow us on Floors Truly. It's at Floors Truly Pod on Twitter and Floors Truly Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And Georgette, you can tell everybody where they can come and follow you for the fun as well.
Absolutely. Mike, again, thank you so much. This was awesome. And y'all can find me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's.
If you run a small business, efficiency has never been more important. So for a limited time, Comcast Business is introducing Small Business Savings. Call now to get powerful internet for just $39 a month for 12 months, with no annual contract and a money-back guarantee. All on the largest, fastest, reliable network for small businesses. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Ends 9/21/22. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Restrictions apply. New business 50 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and other charges extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.